Hello, Cosmic Explorers, and welcome to another edition of Cosmic Insight. I'm your co-creator, Hillis Pugh, along with
Rebecca Gregory here. Thank you so much for joining us for another exploration of the cosmos with us here. And today we have a really special guest that I had the beautiful opportunity actually to meet the other day for some of the work that he does. And I was just so inspired by his presence and who he was. I had to bring him on the show. So he's joining us today, and his name is James Newman. And his soul name is, and I might not say it right, is Ji-Amul. And please correct me, James, when you get on. And he's from the Nabeo people from the Sinaiten galaxy, and he walks among us as a messenger, and he's a receiver of wisdom here to assist humanity, to assist in the revelation of our reality, so that humans may leave their illusionary perspectives and return home to their true selves. And in doing this, return as part of the whole in the integrated form. After having two transitional experiences in 2005, this new soul aspect has taken over. So how beautiful to meet a being that has embraced that part of him and bringing that to help humanity today. And I'm so honored and just overwhelmed. I mean, just full of joy, not overwhelmed, but just full of joy to bring him on today so he can just explore with us just the beautiful world that he lives in. So, James, welcome.
Hello, how are you?
I'm
Welcome,
fabulous. How are you?
James.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on, guys. This is a real privilege. Thank
Oh my
you.
gosh, I'm
It's
like
most welcome. I mean, anyone who has galactic wisdom to share. I mean, this is the perfect space for you because we're all, galactic beings in our own right. Some of us are more aware than others, but in regardless of what level of awareness, we all have a duty to share whatever wisdom that we come upon. And so there you have it.
There it is. There it is. Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it was a joy to meet you the other day, Rebecca, and wonderful to meet you as well today, Hillis. Thank you.
Yes, and I was
So,
really excited, as you could tell.
yeah, Rebecca gets
Yes. I
excited
got ahead of
easily.
myself. I got caught up in my own energy there.
There you go. Nothing wrong with
So,
that.
no.
I want to know more about this whole galactic. What was it, Rebecca?
What?
You, the
His
galactic.
transitional experience?
No,
His galactic
before
family?
that, I can't remember now. I mean, we're the sentient galaxy. I want to know more about this whole sentient galaxy thing.
Ah, so from my origins, you
Yes,
want to
your
know more
origin.
about my
Oh,
Earth?
so you're a
Okay.
superhero now with the origin story.
No, I'm just a messenger here to assist humanity as best I can.
Yes.
In 2005, I had two what I call transitional experiences. I think they're more commonly known as NDEs, near-death experiences, but even the word death itself, I don't resonate with because we never die, we just transition. We just walk through a doorway. And on both of the transitional experiences, I was able to experience things in the first one that kind of cleared the path. It was an experience of being reborn into the belly of a mother whale. I was in Hawaii at the time, and I was able to wipe away at that moment what I had held my entire journey up until then. I was 39 years old at that time. And wipe away what I had held and what I referred to as trauma from being abandoned as an infant and never knowing what maternal love felt like. Never knowing that aspect of support, good, bad, or indifferent, never even knew what it was to feel a maternal energy. And that first one wiped all of that away at being born from a mother whale, that immense beauty, that immense power, that immense embracing energy. And then the second one took me to the awareness of the new facet, the new aspect of my soul that was stepping in, and who would be giving the guidance from that point forward in my journey here. And it took me a while. It probably took me 3 or 4, maybe 5 years to even begin to connect with what really happened, with what took place. And that was probably in 2008 or 2009 when someone showed me a video of others who had also experienced the same thing, because I didn't. I had no notion of that occurrence at all. I didn't know anything about what people call NDEs or anything like that. And from there, step by step, you know, I started to look into, of course, Googling and YouTubing and whatever I could find, and then others, listening to other stories, and then finally coming to the point where I could listen to my own. I could listen from within and reconnect, reintegrate with the reality of who I am, who we all are. And at that point, I started to really just listen. And for quite a few years, maybe 5 or 6 years, it was just listening. And it was as if pieces and parts of a puzzle that are forming a picture were put in place. And I could see pieces and, oh, well, wait, this is another piece that connects with this. And, you know, excited, really excited, just like Rebecca, at coming together with those things. And then about, I guess, about 3.5 to 4 years ago now, probably 2018, I sat with wondering what was I going to do with my life, because I had left my catering business and returned here to my home state of Kentucky. And something just said, well, you've always loved to sketch or to draw little things, and go get some sketch paper, some crayons and pencils and markers and whatever, just whatever inspires you. And one of the first things that came was this image of a light being. And from that image of the light being, I was told the story of my origins, of my soul origins, and how all things are interconnected, and how all things are in their harmonious state, in their reality state, are all interconnected. And that anything that humans do to divide us, no matter what that is, it distances us from that interconnectedness. And from there, I started to paint and arrive basically kind of where I am right now in the journey.
So what is that you're doing right now in your journey with the paintings?
Being the receiver. Mm-hmm. Being the receiver and assisting. The focus mainly is the human reintegration with all that is. Because all that is resides in a fluid state. And human beings allow themselves to become stuck in things like what they call beliefs and truths and things like that, that are just like a belief or a truth is like a snapshot of a place in the journey.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the reality of the journey, because the reality of our journeys is ever fluid and ever transforming and changing. So I'm assisting people with the images that I receive for them in seeing that reality, seeing beyond what they think they know.
Beautiful. And in this transition that you had, stepping into the soul part of you, would you, a lot of people talk about walk-ins, would you consider it a walk-in, or you were just merging with your soul to become the true being of who you are?
Yes to both.
Okay.
Because like the word channeling and like the words that people are accustomed to using, like light language and other things like that, those are old paradigms. And the word walk-in, the term walk-in, and those are, because walk-in would express something that was out and came in, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
But that's exactly the opposite. what happens is it's like the blinder gets taken off, and we get to become aware of an aspect of us that was always there. And we simply allow ourselves to integrate with that aspect of us, integrate vibrationally.
So to clarify, like these old paradigms of what we, you know, the walk-ins and all that, this was just basically, as you said, a reintegration of, of you.
Of the awareness of who I really am. Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful. And that's what you're assisting others to do now, is to open to that space, to allow that to come in, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Beautiful.
To that awareness that, and I guess the most important thing is to, for them to become aware that it's all within us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not out there anywhere. We don't have to reach for anything. And in the reality of who we are, there's nothing that would divide us.
Exactly.
Or categorize us, or nothing. There just isn't. There isn't a hierarchy. There isn't all of these old human paradigms that people try and apply to what is of the ethereal. None of that exists there.
Right.
There is just harmony. There is just harmony.
Beautiful.
It is. And I just want to take a half step back, because I know a lot of people find this topic interesting about near-death experiences and walk-ins. And you just really, you know, piqued my interest, really intrigued me in how you defined walk-in. And from what I understand it to be, you know, people who, and before I get to the question, how people usually define a walk-in to be, is a spirit or soul who walked in the middle of someone else's existence. So, you know, the someone could be a teenager, someone could be an adult, and that soul's like, okay, I want out. I can't do this life anymore. You want to come in and sub in for me. You want to tag in and take over the rest of this life. And this is how some people define walk-ins. But as I hear you explain this, and this could be a whole other way to look at it, and I want everyone to put on their critical thinking caps in this moment. For everyone who has ever defined or had a definition of a walk-in or any out-of-body experiences, what I want you all to understand is that, and James, if you can clarify, is from what I'm hearing, is that people who have the experience of a walk-in has either at some point had a near-death experience, or they are receiving an additional portion or additional part of themselves in their life to activate, to have more of awareness of themselves or surroundings that pertains to their soul, to their true essence of who they are.
And so your question is?
My question is, do you feel that the people who experience walk-ins are really having an experience of, quote unquote, for, in layman's terms, leveling up or becoming more aware of themselves?
It's challenging to say, because obviously each experience is unique. Mm-hmm. And beautiful in its uniqueness. And what I can say to you is, first of all, if we put on our critical thinking caps, we're going to distort the wisdom that is there to be received. Mm-hmm. Because when we try and perceive this through the mind has the desire to compartmentalize. And the mind then compartmentalizing labels. And then when they label, then it's given a definition. And each one of those steps that is taken limits and limits and limits and limits. So when we take all of that away and just allow ourselves to be just like, I think I said this to Rebecca the other day, to be like the radio, just to be the receiver of the energy. Whether that's a sound wave, whether that's a radio wave, a vibrational wave, however that comes in, let go of what you think you know. And and there's a writing in the Tao that says the Tao that can be named is not the Tao. And it and if you have this awareness of the reality of who we are, you get that. Because once you put a label on it, you limit it. So that people are having really unique, beautiful experiences, they are. But for and the other thing to be aware of too is our souls are innumerously faceted.
Yes.
Innumerously faceted. So, but the mind would want to say that, oh, well, this is something that, oh, this other thing from another place came in. No, that's a distortion of what may have occurred. And so each step that's taken down, if you will, down that rabbit hole is just another step in distortion of the reality. And they kind of have to then work their way back. And the way you do that, and I do that in one-on-one sessions, is let's come back to the moment that that occurred and tell me what you felt. And I'll ask someone to tell me what you felt. And then they'll go kind of like down the path that you did of explaining through words of what occurred. And I was like, okay, well, so how did you feel about that? Well, I felt that it was the rising and this was over here and over. No, you're still referring to occurrence. You're still coming at it through your mind, your compartmentalizing ego self mind. What did you feel? And when if someone then comes in and says, oh my gosh, I felt this expansiveness, I'm like, yes, that's it. Let's go there. Let's start there because that's the vibration of what occurred without the filter of the mind. And you get to come into the vibrational expression that is the occurrence. And once we arrive there, then you can really find out what happened.
I love that. That's what we have to move into. We have to move into a place of more of a feeling rather than thinking.
Exactly. So that vibrational, from what I'm hearing right now, that vibrational expression is what we all need to, what we must allow ourselves to step into, to function in that space. And not from the words and the limitation and the labels and all that nonsense
that is
triggered in our mind.
Yes.
Up to that place of feeling, which we have not been taught to do.
Exactly. You summed it up beautifully. And even to the point. Oh, sorry.
No, I was going to say probably re-educated because, you know, as kids, you know, it's just our innate space to feel and to be happy, to joy, to be joyous, to be joyful, to be all, to be these things, to be these feeling beings as kids. And then, you know, life re-educates us and now we have to label everything just so we can make sense of it.
Yeah. But and that's where we get into trouble.
Yeah.
When we try and understand it and make sense of it. Because again, we're putting it through the very, very limited filter of the egoic mind.
Yeah.
And I say limited in comparison to the vibrational state of what is. And Rebecca actually said the word that what people refer to as light language that wants to put expression into words and sentences and paragraphs and a language. I refer to it as vibrational expression. And vibrational expression, if someone needs a definition, the vibrational expression is is the pathway of the soul into this realm. That expression, I'm sorry?
That gave me shivers.
Yeah, because that's the reality of it. The vibrational expression, when you take away the words language and the words, because people's language, then they want to attach it to a group. Well, it's this group, that group. And again, it goes on that detour.
Yeah.
On that detour of this mind is better than yours. Oh, well, I'm this group. I'm that color ray or this, you know, all those things that have absolutely nothing to do with what's occurring. And when you come back to that simplistic place of being the receiver, that's why we were all created to come here and be the receivers. So the expression of the ethereal can be expressed to us and through us as us.
You know, it's just beautiful because it takes me back to my first love, which is poetry. And, you know, I mean, it's the most simplest form of the combination of expressing what we have as feelings mixed with the vocabulary to express what needs to be expressed. Yeah. And the beauty of that is that it can be anything. You know, there's no definition in it. So which is, you know, the freedom of expression, or as we are talking about it today, the vibrational expression of the energy that comes through us to allow for the greater purpose, the greater, the wholeness, if you will, the creation, birthing, well, the creator birthing, the creation of a cycle repeats itself. And this infinite cycle of repetition of creation. And in that beauty, you know, people often get stuck in that, you know. And so as they get stuck in that, they get stuck in it because they want to pause and define every single step along the way and not just enjoy it. And so I feel that what you do is help people get unstuck. To really enjoy the ride, if you will, whether it be a lazy river or a roller coaster.
Exactly. A stream, of something coming down from a mountain, whatever it is. And you actually hit on the very analogy that I utilize when people say, well, what is that like? And it's like, okay, well, if you can imagine a molecule of water in the ocean, and imagine that that's you. And imagine the journey that it takes once the molecule of water leaves the ocean and rises up. Just like us choosing to come into this journey, we'll call it our rising up, and goes up into a cloud and collects with a whole lot of other molecules and then begins to travel. And it travels in the clouds and in the weather systems and finally comes across land somewhere, and then the right conditions that are on the land suddenly give it the opportunity to drop in, right? To fall from the sky and come into the journey. And that's our moment of birth. So we can see the drop of water hitting someplace on a mountain, let's say, like you were saying, it's everybody's journey is different, so it'll start somewhere. So the molecule of water has probably formed into a drop with whole lots of molecules of water at that time, meaning the collective aspects of the soul. And there it is. It's in a spring, little bitty old spring, just trickling down the side of the mountain, and that little spring finds its way into the creek. Whoa, there's a lot of molecules in here. There's a lot of stuff going on in here. And then it heads into the creek, and then it's going over the rocks and around the roots of trees and all, you know, all kinds of directions. But what is it always doing? It's always fluid and it's always flowing. And so it continues down the mountain and into more of a valley area, and then maybe into the river. And then from the river, it's really joined a mass of things, and we can reflect on that as the wisdom that we have received, the amount of aha moments. And then it gets into the river, and suddenly it finds itself back in the ocean where it was of its origins. So if you can imagine that occurrence, think about a few things that never occurred. Never once did the molecule of water, the soul, however you want to refer to it as, never once did it stop. Because even if it hit solid rock, it found a way through. Because it knows that its origin and its reason for being is its fluid state. Mm-hmm. Never once did it stop at the root of the tree because it had to get around it and stop and engage with trying to figure out why that root was there or why those things were there. Never once did it stop at the rock and say, wow, you threw me up out of the stream and I had to come bouncing back in and still continue and all. Never once does the molecule. Only human beings see the illusional perspective of the occurrences, like something that may happen in your life, like the root or the rock or anything else. Only human beings choose to stop and get stuck there. And choose to find discord with that instead of maintaining a fluid state of being.
Yes.
And so the work that I do is just like you said, Hillis, getting people unstuck from that perspective and getting them back into the river and letting them flow with the brilliance of all of their life.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that. And I just have to add this, because as you were speaking of this amazing analogy of life and how we are to flow, is that when we come upon a root or a rock, that yes, our perception in our human form tends to shift from happy flow to disgruntled flow.
Mm-hmm. Discord.
And so what's being guided here to be expressed is that maybe it's not us being disgruntled. Maybe it's just us going through this space of transformation to incorporate us ourselves into the rock, into the root, to nourish what needs to be nourished, or to help transform what needs to be transformed. So then ultimately we become something more, and then eventually go back to the origin in a different path, in a different direction.
But the reality is we already are.
Yes.
We already are the root. We already are the rock.
Yes.
That's where the stuckness happens.
Yes.
Is when we think that we're other, that we're divided, that we're separate, that there's this against that.
Yeah.
It's taking on that perspective of it. See, everything outside of the human species, everything, every animal, every part of nature, every molecule of anything that exists here on this planet and in this universe exists harmoniously. It exists as the whole in its integrated form. Only human beings are left. It wasn't always that way. There were other beings in other situations and other species that were also in that, but they've already returned to that whole.
Yeah.
And what people many times refer to as oneness, but it's kind of, oneness refers to a singularity when it's exact opposite. The whole is an expansive and numerously faceted expression of all that is. And what science would call a black hole, I hold the awareness of being an elemental alchemy sphere. And within that sphere, or what science calls a black hole, is the quantum field of all that is. That's why they're present in our universe, so we can have a look in and remember. So what science wants to call things, again, we're going back to words, is usually just the opposite of what it is, because it's like when we look at things through the mind and the mind's perspective, like, oh, when we come to the root or the rock, and maybe we're there to integrate. Well, that's a mind-based egoic perspective, because the water already knows that it already is a part of that, and that it never divided itself from that. And so science likes to explain things from that filter or that perspective. And you can kind of, like, if you've got an immense wall, I guess you would need, and if you drew a circle about the size of a nickel on that wall, immense wall, and then you let the wall represent the rest of all that is, what is of the collective most brilliant human minds would fit in to the nickel? And the reality of the immenseness of all that is all the rest. And so most things are expressed and explained, going back to the whole thing with terminology, light language, all of this compartmentalizing and labeling, all this stuff occurs because the majority of humans are still looking at it through that nickel-sized viewfinder. And that, and not just the viewfinder, but that filter as well. When, and the moment comes that we get into what we feel about it, then the whole spectrum just opens up. The blinders come off, and the reality is then allowed to come in, and we are allowed to integrate with it. And then, like I said before, we are allowed to express it to us and through us as us into this realm. People thought, just to add another thing, people talk about the new earth, you know, all of these things and activation and all this. Activation is another one of those words that's a delusional perspective. All that is already there in all of its brilliance. Humans that think that they're activating are really on a deep end of their egoic perspective for that nickel-sized filter. Because all that is, all of the brilliance of all that is already there in its full brilliance and its occurrence. It's just awaiting for our arrival in the awareness of it, of its existence. It's already there.
Your question, Rebecca?
I forgot my question. I got you. I was integrating the last part of that, that just, you know, moving into that, I just kind of lost my question. Oh, I remembered my question. So what, you know, from all that you just talked about of moving into that, what can you recommend for people, recommend to people to kind of open to that space? Any recommendations you have to help them to get away from seeing the filters or open up to that expansive state to keep them out of the labels and all that? Is there anything you can recommend to assist in that?
For a while, to set aside a time, whether it's once a day, once a week, each one will decide, you know, there's that thing that you've seen the post that says, if you can't find time to meditate for 10 minutes, you probably need to meditate for an hour. So set aside a time every day. I would say every day, possibly or better in the morning, where you just disconnect from everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean everything. Keep your phone turned off. Keep yourself. I mean, if you have family in the house, yes, you need to connect with them. But let your family know that you're going to try and find some time for yourself today. If it starts with 10 minutes, that's wonderful. And just sit in a place of stillness. And stillness does not mean inactivity. Stillness simply means a place of non-resistance, where you're not categorizing. If you see a bird go by the window, you're not, oh, well, that's a, no, you just let go of that. You begin to become the observer. And when you come to the observer and don't occupy your mind with labeling, figuring out, all that kind of stuff, you begin to feel like, oh, wow, what a beautiful, you feel like you felt the beauty of the bird that you saw. Or let yourself just go to a garden where there are flowers and not worry about what color the flower is or what it smells like or anything. Let yourself feel what the flower transmits to you. Start simply with things like that, because then you begin to connect with that inner aspect of yourself, where you're not categorizing, where you're not labeling, where you're not, oh, well, I don't like tulips. Well, you know, that's not the point. That's not the point. You know, go to the tulip and let it have a voice. You know, let it, the colors of its beauty, the fact that it only comes in springtime. Let yourself feel that. Let yourself feel how its expression is many times temporary. Let yourself feel the importance of being there to witness it. And the more we become the observer and the witness, the broader the spectrum of wisdom that comes to us. And I think in with that is really having conversations, really being able to discern the difference between knowledge and wisdom, because one has nothing to do with the other. Absolutely nothing to do with the other. Mm-hmm. You know, you may see someone and think they're ugly. And if you have no filter and no sense of wisdom within you, you're going to tell them that. You're going to be that stupid. But wisdom lets you realize that, wait a minute, what is it that's ugly about yourself that you're seeing in that person? That's the reality. Because the Stillness Sunday that I did this last week, it was all about the mirror. How the mirror is actually just two sides of the same coin. Mm-hmm. You're only seeing what's within you. And the wisdom will tell you to keep your mouth closed and assess your own self instead of putting those words out there to possibly offend or harm someone else. So come into the feeling of it all. Come in little things that can assist in coming into the feeling of it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And start there, and it can build from there.
Beautiful. Tell us.
Yeah, I know, and I really appreciate this guidance that you're offering to our audience for this. And as you were speaking, I was just getting a little tickled only because of the experiences that I had in plant medicine, doing plant medicine. And you know, when you're in this space, you know, sacred space, this beautiful space, there's nothing but mirrors around you, nothing but, whether if it's internally, externally, it's just pure reflection.
Yeah.
And anyone who's experienced this can understand. And when we allow ourselves to surrender to the wisdom, to allow ourselves to surrender to the God, Goddess energy, to surrender to the expansiveness of that truly exists, then we allow ourselves to become something less, but yet also more at the same time. And so in that, it is just really, I guess, how you would describe it is the space of non-resistance and the space of now allowing myself to become in alignment with who we are and what we do. And so what is the simplest thing other than what you described, other than stillness? Because some people might say, well, this is too hard. I can't sit and watch something and not label it, because we've been so conditioned to label a flower, label a bird, or label this or label that. What is one of the most simplest ways that someone can be more attentive to step into the space of alignment for themselves?
Start with music. Start with music that is very gentle and slow, and a beautiful type of music is something played on the piano. Start focusing on feeling how each note moves you.
I've never heard that. I love dancing.
Because every stroke of a paintbrush, every expression of a script is like the note of a song that's being sung. Let yourself feel it. Not music with words and, you know, all of that. Let it just be something instrumental. The didgeridoo is a really good one for that as well. When, you know, it's a when it starts, let yourself feel that. Let that self, that come into you. And when you're able to do that, you know you've arrived at the doorway.
Yes.
And so let yourself go there. And if you live in the house with others, then get your headphones, get your you know, whatever, your earbuds, whatever you got to put in to just kind of be with yourself and let yourself begin to follow the feelings. Because what you're following is vibration.
Yes.
You know, the note of a song is nothing but a vibrational wave that creates a sound. And the didgeridoo is a good one because it comes from such a profound place from the indigenous peoples. A drum, a Native American drums, you know, or a flute, wooden flute, not metallic, because that takes on a different level of resonance, but a wooden flute. Look for music with a wooden flute. And as each note is played, let yourself feel it. And be accustomed, come accustomed to just feeling. And then what you do then is take that and apply it to then looking at the flower. Or then just letting yourself experience the beauty. Because there's a beautiful story in the wisdom of all that is that speaks to the coming of beauty to this realm. And that story is that as this realm, meaning this universe, aside from the other four universes that exist, this realm was created with some very specific dynamics, if you will, paradigms to be experienced by the human experience or through the human experience. And as this earth began to form and all that Big Bang Theory and stuff is true. All that craziness happened, the volcanoes, and it was on fire. And then, you know, things started to calm down. And water began to appear and this kind of thing and that kind of thing. And then microorganisms and all of that pathway. And all of this was a collective wisdom expressed through different vibrational beings. Collecting that wisdom, creating, if you will, we don't have a better word, but it's not technology, but the technology for its existence and its expression here, and how to translate from that vibrational state into a physical form, all of that being created, suddenly they realized, wow, beauty is such a powerful energy. Let's see what we can do about creating beauty there. And so the first form of beauty that was expressed in this realm was a flower. So the entities got all together and sent the energy through that expression that we were talking about to us and through us as us. They found the portal and in came the seed of the flower. And the flower was born, but it didn't thrive. So the beings got back together, and I'm using analogies here, but you'll have to just play along, like the same with the water and the river.
It's flowing with you.
Yeah. So, and the beings got back together, said, let's try it again. And so they sent the same seed through and gave it more energy and more love and more beauty, more of what was coming here to express and to be. And again, the flower was born, it flowered, it opened up, and it died. It didn't thrive. It didn't form other seeds so that they could continue to grow. This pattern went on and on for quite a while. And in that time, other things began to develop, like creatures that could crawl or swim or other things like that. So they came back to this and this focus on this beauty. And once again, the flower was sent through. But this time, something different happened. There was something there to see it, to observe its beauty. And therein was the creation of the interconnectedness of all things. I see you. So in that thing, that interconnectedness, I thrive. I thrive because we are interconnected. Because we are one, because we are all from the same source and no division. And because of that, then flowers came through. And if you can think about how many, at least what science says, how many millions of years ago that was up until now, and the flower is always present in an act of love.
Yeah.
Because the reality is that love is not the most powerful thing we have in this universe. Beauty is. because it is in the witnessing of beauty. I see you. The response to that occurrence is a feeling, and that feeling therein is love.
Love. Wow.
Beauty is the most powerful, is the most powerful energy that we have here. And that's why, again, flowers. I mean, you may not like tulips, but okay, that's fine. You probably like jasmine or roses or something. But it nevertheless, its beauty has its place. And without it, we would not exist. We would definitely. You're welcome. We would not exist.
That beautiful wisdom.
Seriously. And so I want you to briefly, if you can, James, talk about these other four universes you mentioned, because I know you mentioned it, but I know other people who are watching say, four other universes. What is he talking about? Got my attention.
Okay. Well, first we have to come into the awareness that source, what we call source, God, the Creator. I mean, there's obviously lots of names for it, and we don't need any of those. But what created the energy that created all of this didn't just create this realm. There were four others that were created. And before we go forward about the other four, we have to realize that there is what is beyond source. Source is not the end of the road.
Yeah.
Source is not the beginning. There is what is beyond source. So source created five worlds. Each of them with unique dynamics. We as human beings were created to come here into this situation due to the egoic self and experience, if you will, the technology of the workings of the egoic self. Another one of the parallel worlds to here was created simply for the evolution of and the expression of technology. Another world was created for other things. I don't hold awareness except for these two worlds, but I do hold the awareness that there are three more. And I know that one of those other worlds is a world with the focus on this transitional aspect, the moving between worlds, this I'm in my vibrational form, now I'm in physical. I'm back in my vibrational form, now I'm in physical. It's a world created just for the experience and the occurrence of all the things that will happen then. Because if you can imagine it, in a world like that, you could come in and out anywhere on a timeline, at any place. And the beauty of all of that is that our souls have the awareness of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Hold the awareness of all of that. And if we allow ourselves to become the receivers, like the radio is, and sing that song from those places, things can be expressed like that. An example is Tesla and his creation of the technology for energy. That came from one of the parallel worlds. An aspect of his soul is also present there. Another facet of him is present there and here as well. All of these folks that we are aware of who have been geniuses, what we call geniuses, you know, throughout our human existence, they are that. They are receiving things that are from another facet of their soul that exists in another one of these parallel worlds. That's how things come about here as well. And not only here, because, for example, humans are the only species in this realm that get the blessing of feeling what it feels like to see the sunset and to feel that beauty of that energy, of the coming and going of the day. We are the only species in all five realms that get to experience things like that. That's why I say this realm is really focused on that human experience of the occurrences that were created, like the rotation of our planets, the setting and rising of the sun, and the, you know, coming and going of seasons, all these things. And the beauty of that is every aspect of nature was put in place first before any of us arrived to show us how to live. We go back to the molecule of water in the ocean. It rises, it does all these things. The tree, why do we breathe together with the tree? Because it's not just breath, it's the life process. The tree in the springtime comes up the sun, it starts to receive its wisdom from the sun. And it starts to receive the wisdom that it can take into its branches and into the buds. And suddenly we've got buds and flowers and things being born. And all of this beauty of wisdom comes into the tree and then down into the earth. And then it comes and flowers and leaves and fruits come onto the tree. And then it has its time of abundance. And then it passes that time of abundance. And then suddenly the leaves start to change colors. They get old, they get dried out, and they fall. And they fall to the ground. Never once does the tree wonder why the leaf is falling off. Never once does it have to go in and process, oh my God, I'm losing my leaves, oh my, all this stuff. And never once does it go through that delusional perspective of trying to process all of that. And it just flows with what occurs. And with that same fluidity, when we come into this awareness of our soul, we can reach into these parallel worlds, as many have. And their experiences, they call them inventions. Sometimes the word inventions is like, well, no, they didn't invent it. It already existed somewhere. And it was just expressed to them and through them as them.
Mm.
Again, so the new earth is all there waiting to be expressed to us and through us as us. It's already there in all of its brilliance. No activation needed. Don't have to put a coin in the slot to make it happen. You just come to the awareness of it and let it be expressed through you.
Phew.
Beautiful.
Wrap your head around all that.
No, don't. No, don't. That's where you distort it. Don't. Let your heart receive all of that.
Let your heart receive it.
Let yourself sit there right now and feel that difference. Let yourself feel the difference. Oh, God, wrap my head around that. It's really difficult, right? It feels difficult. But wait a minute. Let your heart come in and receive the beauty of that. It's more fluid, isn't it?
It is.
It's more fluid that way.
Beautiful example.
So we have to get out of our heads and into our hearts. Even Buddhism has taught that for a long time, that the longest journey that a human would ever make was leaving the mind and coming into the heart.
Mm. Yeah.
And it is.
Well, it has been
a beautiful exchange of energy today.
I know. So tell us a little bit. I see your t-shirt, Home. Isn't that a new Home? Isn't that a new YouTube that you started?
Yes, it is. Well, now, see, I can't see you guys. All I'm getting is still shots of you guys, so I didn't know you could see me.
Oh.
Good thing I didn't pick my nose.
Yes.
Oh, because you're on your phone. That's
no, I'm on my tablet, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. So, yes, HOME is an acronym for Harmony of Mother Earth. It is something I received while I had an injury to my leg and I couldn't paint anymore. I had to literally lay up in bed with my leg elevated for about 3 or 4 weeks. And I thought, oh my God, I'm going to pull all my hair out. What am I going to do? So I went back to the sketch pad. I thought, well, I can take that to bed with me and still keep myself elevated. And I thought, okay, what can I create? What have I not been focusing on that maybe I can create? Because all of the artwork that I paint is focused with that same message of the reintegration of humanity with all of this. So I thought, wow, what's an easier step for people to see? And that is reintegration with the planet itself. Mm-hmm. You know, because for the past couple of years, we've had this insanity going on about a virus, when the reality is that all of the microbiome is here as a benefit to humanity. if viruses didn't exist, we wouldn't be able to live. If viruses and the microbiome didn't exist, we have so many elements of the microbiome within our bodies that if people got in and really informed themselves about that, they would realize that there's no enemy out there. Exactly. And so it's about, first of all, realizing that the only way to win the battle is to leave the war. Leave the perspective of that something's coming to get me and I've got to fight against it. Leave that delusional perspective that the majority of humans live through and realize that harmony is the only way forward. At this point, there is no other road to take except for human extinction. And that's what will occur for many. But home is all about conversations about how do we reintegrate ourselves? Well, just like everything has a vibration, just like we were talking about earlier, about we'll start with listening to the notes of the song. Nature is no different. There is a plant, a root that I am taking to assist my physical form into coming into a place of reintegration. It's called astragalus.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a tincture out of the astragalus, and every morning I take 3 drops of it. And every evening I take 3 drops of it. As it's kind of like every time I do that, I'm hitting that tuning fork of that vibration of harmony with the earth. So the conversations that we are having already on home are about that.
Perfect.
How do we get back to the resonance and the vibration of a harmonious place with the earth itself? Because once we begin to do that, then we'll want to do that with one another. And we will let go of these things that divide us. Even people referring to divine feminine and divine masculine. Well, folks, divinity knows no gender. That's just a human experience. So even that division divides us. You know, we put characteristics, personality characteristics, emotional expressions as being, oh, well, that's feminine, or that's, oh, no, it's not. No, it's not. That's just yet another step of division. What we have to come to the realization is that it all exists within all of us. And when we stop labeling it, stop using those words, and start coming into the reality of things, all the way that things are in the ethereal, we can become harmonious again as a planet, as a humanity, as a species, and with all that is. And imagine when we do that, what can be expressed through us.
I love that.
Beauty.
Thank you so much.
Beauty, absolute beauty, because that is, and people say, well, what's my purpose? Your purpose is to find home. Your purpose is to reintegrate. Now, I mean, that purpose has changed during the passage of time that humans have been here. But if you're here on this planet now, your purpose for being here is finding your way home to that integration of all that you are, so that you can then integrate with all that is.
Yes. Oh, love that.
Love it.
And they can find that on YouTube under home.
Under home, harmony of slash. I don't know if that's a dash. I guess home in all capital letters slash or dash. Harmony of Mother Earth.
And so they can find this also on your website too, correct, James?
The YouTube channel is not on the website. The website has its connection to Facebook and Instagram, which are the places where all the artwork are.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, James, is there anything else that you'd like to share with our audience? Any final words of thoughts or anything that's upcoming?
Yes. And I'll ask you to engage your heart now to be able to receive it. Just allow yourself to sit wherever you are, whoever's listening, both you, Rebecca, and you, Hillis. Just come into a place of non-discordant awareness and allow yourself to just be the receiver. Sitfur batir nunkur misit nirananga. Nirt ur pati tikiranum vor man sikiranankiana. Amnirata kur ur pitir idianan sunum vor mini anaye. Anaye kestitira manda. Nutur ma pitir. Isitir mor tikirananta. An it arpa forbo sikiranitia. Sudura nikira, sutsu por, aksanto sor, remember who you are.
Thank you for that.
Thank you so much for that, James. That was beautiful.
You're welcome. Thank you guys for being the receivers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I wanted to cry. It was just so beautiful.
Then do that.
Yes.
Do that. It's because every time we resist that, then we keep it as a we keep it as a
the beauty.
I didn't. I'm sorry.
Or should I? I'm going to change that to tears were welling up from the beauty, and I didn't resist.
They wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. Yeah, that's the same thing with the message and the question. Well, where do we start? If you start to feel something, let yourself feel it.
Feel it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Oh,
that's exactly it. Thank you, James, so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you, guys.
We'd love to have you back sometime, and
oh, please do. Yeah, I love these conversations. You've got a person coming up soon on your list of people that I would love to be in a panel with. Oh, and there he is calling.
That would be my daughter.
okay.
So thank you so much, James, again, for your time, your presence, and this energy of exchange. And for those who are watching, remember to check us out live every Friday night, 6 p.m. Eastern, for your weekly Friday night tune-up. To get tuned up and to get your questions answered and just to feel good about life.
Yes. Thank you for doing that.
And thank you once again, Cosmic Explorers. And remember, don't limit yourself. Create yourself. Be the change in you.
Yes.
Till next time, everyone.
Thank you. Mwah.